Today we're going to talk about or explore a little bit of, in chapter 4 of Romans. We'll probably just do the whole chapter at one time. It's much of it is a review, going over some of the concepts that he's already threw out, but bringing in a unique individual to the Jewish race. He's bringing in the forefather of all Jews, Abraham. Now one might ask, who was Abraham? We're not going to go into that into any great depth here because that's not what the scripture is trying to say, who he was, where he was born, and a little bit about his life. It wasn't going into that. It was using him as an example of how to become close to God, how to be forgiven by God and to walk with God. And so the first question is, was Abraham a Jew or a Gentile? And it seems like he was both. Born a Gentile, in a sense, because there were no Jewish people then. This was actually the very beginning of the Jewish people as a race. It started with Abraham. So what was Abraham, a Jew or a Gentile? And if he was both, when did this transition take place? It certainly wasn't a physical transformation because there's nothing in the Word of God that says that. It was basically a spiritual transformation. We can read in Genesis 15, 1 through 6. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign God, what can you give me since I am remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. And 14 years later, what happened to Abraham? Abraham was not, this is in chapter 17 of Genesis, verse 24. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. Now, in one case, we have the evidence of faith. God told him something and he believed it. In the other case, we have a formality. He was circumcised. Where did he become a Jew? Which one of these? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of different discussion on this, and we could come up with a lot of different reasons for both of them, but it would seem that he became a Jew when he had faith, when he trusted God's promise, when he trusted God's word, when he took God at his word and he truly believed it and trusted in him that it would become so. I believe this was the spiritual birth of Abraham, and this was what made a Jew. It wasn't necessarily the physical birth. But there are two types of Jews. I think Paul would say this. One of them is the physical ones. You know, it's genetic. You're born a Jew. Your mother and father were Jew, and you were born a Jew. And there's a spiritual birth. And that's what Romans is an awful lot about, the spiritual birth. Who is the real, true Jew? Paul was saying that over and over. Who is the true Jew? There are only going to be a few Jews that are going to be born physically. But Paul is saying every one of us without fail, has the opportunity to be born again with God and become a true Jew. That's what he's talking about. What a true Jew was is the one that had the faith of their father, Abraham. Let's take another look at faith. What does faith really mean? It's a very deep subject, one that we could explore for a great deal of time. There's a lot of different angles to faith that we could look at. But let's take a look at several things right now. What is faith? Well, it's some kind of an internal commitment to something, to some belief. It's internal. That's where it starts, obviously. Now, if it's internal and it really is a belief, if a person really believes it, then their behavior will be the evidence of this faith. What I mean, let's just take Noah. I'm sure that most of you know about Noah. If you don't, go back into Genesis and read about the flood and Noah and his three sons and so on. And he would have almost a perfect example of faith, because here he was among a bunch of people that didn't believe in God, and on dry land, he started building this monstrous ship. It was a monstrosity in those days. Even today, it would be a monstrosity. God came to him and said, Noah, it's going to rain. Now, he didn't tell him it was going to be over 100 years before it did, but he told him, Noah, it's going to rain, and I want you to build an ark, and this is the way you're going to build it. Now, if Noah would have said, I believe God, I believe it's going to rain, but the next day he would have looked out and said, you know, I'm just not sure I want to build this ark. What if it doesn't rain? Perhaps there's a 95% probability, but the 5% chance that it doesn't, you know, what would I do with this monstrosity? I would be the laughingstock of the world, probably will anyway. What would I do? Everybody would come by and say, you know, he built this and it didn't really turn out to be anything. There was no flood. It had never rained before on earth. But Noah really believed it. He had faith. And since he had faith, the next day he got a saw and a hammer and whatever else they used in those days to build ships. And he started probably hiring a few people. It took him a long time, over 100 years, to build this ark, him and his sons. He probably needed help. So he probably started hiring people, started spending money, his hard-earned money, on a project that God had given him. And what do you think the people thought? Now, have you ever done something that was, that you, by faith, and the people around you kind of give you that funny look, that queer look, and they might laugh a little bit and snicker behind your back? What do you think they thought of Noah doing this? Here he was in a world that had never seen rain, far from the ocean, far from water, building this huge monstrosity. Every day, I believe, for all those over hundreds of years, he had to put up with the ridicule of those around him. And what did he do? His faith held. So what was the evidence of his faith? The evidence of his faith was his behavior. It is always the evidence of our faith. It is not our faith, necessarily, but is the evidence of our faith. James, in chapter 2, starting at verse 23, he calls it works of faith. He says, faith without the corresponding obedience or behavioral changes is worthless, because it is really not faith in the first place. If we really had faith, we would believe it and begin to do it. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He was called God's friend. You see that a man is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Now, when James said that, I might take a little occasion to this. He used the word faith, but I would call it inner conviction or inner belief, that part of faith. Because faith, in a sense, as James said, has two components. One, the internal, and two, the outward effect, the outward behavior. Back to Abraham. Abraham, therefore, was not a Jew by birth. He became a Jew in a sense, but he was a Jew by spiritual birth. He had the faith that allowed him to be saved from God. What were some of the evidences of his faith? Well, one of them was that he just about killed his son. He would have done it because God had asked him to do it. He didn't know why. Maybe he thought that his son would go right to heaven then, or who knows what went through his mind, because it doesn't really tell us. But the main thing is here that the evidence of his faith was his willingness to even kill his son, who he loved, I'm sure, dearly. And then, even before his son was born, he was almost 100 years old, and him and Sarah were way past the time that people have children. I mean, it was getting ridiculous to think that Sarah would bear a child again. But he believed it, and it had been promised to him years and years before. But he believed that he would have a son, and that son came. Abraham was forgiven his wrongs, not because he was perfect. Far from it. If you read his life, you'll find that it's a testimony of most of us humans. It was fraught with all kinds of failings and mistakes, and we could say sin. But what made him right with God then? Well, how can God accept him? He accepted him because he believed what God told him was true. He trusted in God, and whatever God would do, he was willing to accept. He allowed God to come into his heart and motivate him and pilot him and steer him throughout life. His faith was made evidenced by his actions. So what does that say to us today? Well, you know, if we were a Jew, like some of the Jews were in the Old Testament, they thought that just being born genetically allowed them some kind of privilege with God. But that's not what Paul is saying in Romans, because no man is justified by how he's born or the things that he does. What justifies a man is his faith. And the faith has two components. It has that inner commitment to follow God, in this case, and the outer evidence in our behavior. And one of the great promises of the Bible, the good news of the Bible, is that no matter what you or I have done, no matter what is the conditions of our life, we can walk with God. We can be saved. We can become what Paul would call a true Jew, a Jew that is born not genetically, but born of the Spirit. And there is nothing, my friend, that stands in your way to having this privilege than your faith.